Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, well, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, and may I add my welcome to that of the voice guy. Welcome to the show. Love to have you company on a Saturday afternoon, all heading towards kickoff 3 o'clock. No, it's not 3 o'clock today.
It's not 3 o'clock today.
We're back on from five for 40 minutes,
and then we'll call the game at 5:40.
GIO Stadium, Canberra taking on the Sharks. If you've been hiding somewhere, have no idea, just have a listen to what's going on. I can go to the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Panthers over the Roosters, 29-28. The Roosters led 10-0, then trailed, 28-10, and got through to 29-28. We'll go into that in some detail. Ryan Girdler is here. Emma Lawrence. My name is Tony Squires. Nathan Brown is about to join us. Now, he's a coach of the Warriors from next season. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know how to operate a lift, though.
Hopefully there's lots of stairs in all
just
time.
As he walks in the room.
Stairs only.
He walks in.
Brownie, I would never say a bad word about you. It was just those two.
Yeah.
Just explain.
Well, that's because you walked in about 2 minutes earlier. Yeah. So if you leave a little bit of room for error, Tony, my parents used to like to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Then things can go wrong and you can still be on time.
Well, that was the Squires family motto, was the same thing. Near enough is good enough. Now, what's the story? Where were you, Brownie?
I was stuck at the lift behind about 10 people because I'm such a stickler for the rules. You only had 2 people per lift.
I've been here for the last 10 years on a Saturday morning, and there is never 11 people in this building, let alone waiting for the same lift.
There's many other buildings.
In the car park.
It services many other buildings.
Do you mean in the car park?
Either.
Lift?
The car park. I don't get the luxury of the big contract and the proper parking.
We don't have a swipe card.
You don't park on a roof.
You get free parking every week.
We'll just turn up earlier.
As it turns out, you have to pay again now because there's a fine for being late. Mm.
Charlie said that I was actually in the building at 12, so I was sweet, he said.
That's the Wendell Saylor rule. It works. Be in the building by the time you're on air and everything's tickety-boo. Did you enjoy it? We're going to get into the game, obviously, in more detail, but it was a great start. If that's what we're going to see over the coming weeks in finals footy, it looks something to look forward to, isn't it?
Oh, it was an outstanding game. I had a good look at it this morning, actually. So watched it a little bit last night, but I'd been to a late lunch with some good friends of ours from about town.
That's every Friday with you, isn't it?
Of late, it has been.
Yeah. And where did you go? Did you go to your
favourite restaurant
down at Sea Level? That was a very, very nice afternoon. So we were watching the game last night, chitter-chatting, but I had a good look at it this morning. What a game of footy. I thought coming into the weekend that was the hardest game to pick. And 29-28, you know, both sides are leading, and Penrith probably did something they haven't had to do, and that's come from behind in a sort of bigger game of footy, and they probably proved their credentials last night by doing what they did.
We're going to have a chat with Jerome Luai, who was just a sensation, this kid, isn't he? He's in commentary, somebody said it was the most improved player of the season. We've known how good he can be and has been all year, hasn't he?
Well, he showed us glimpses last year when he got opportunities when the guys went away with Maloney and Clear in Origin, and he had some standout performances, and you kind of think, no one really knows how he's going to play, and he's coming up, and you know, the way that he moves around the field, he's sort of enigmatic, and I reckon to a degree he'd be kind of hard to play with. And I think what's happened with the development of him this year is the people around him now know what he does. Like that inside pass he gave that late to Crichton for that try last night, like that play was over.
Yep.
I don't know how they executed that. It was brilliant, and because it was done so late and so well, they got the result. But he would be a difficult half to play outside because he skips and he jumps, and it would take a long time to learn how to play with him properly. And he's in good touch at the moment, though.
The crowd, honestly, that was – I don't know if I've ever experienced something like that. I was sidelined for that game, and there were times where, you know, I couldn't even hear the commentary. I couldn't even hear sometimes Dan throwing down to me because they were that loud.
It was only 7,000
7,200, but I think – because it'd been so long since, well, they haven't had a finals game there since 2010, and we've had restricted crowds for so long, so there's some that probably haven't been to the footy for a while. Obviously a finals game. So all of that, it was just the perfect recipe. It was incredible. I was at the I did sideline for the prelim last year, South Raiders, when they had the Viking clap. But I think the fans last night were louder.
It was
one of the best games to have I've ever done sideline for.
Right. We're going to get to that in some detail. We'll hear from the coaches as well. There's a story, the Sam Burgess story, which isn't pretty. We'll get to that. As well, as I said, Jerome Luai will join us. It's all ahead. It is the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Brownie M. Gerds, Tony with you. As a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Panthers over the Roosters, 29 points to 28 in the first qualifying final. The Raiders take on the Sharks. We've also got the Rabbitohs and the Knights, the Storm and the Eels. That's what lies before us for the rest of this weekend. All right, let's have a little bit of a deep dive into this game, 29-28. Before we tear it apart, Gerds, why don't we just hear from, certainly from the Roosters coach, who was asked first whether the result helped show a bit better the character of the team.
Yeah, I think so, Paul. You know, character gets exposed on the biggest stage, and we didn't win, but our character stood up. So we need to get our execution and skill level to follow our character in that second half, and we'll be a much better team next week.
He was a guy, he's usually fairly unflappable in the coach's box, isn't he? But he was standing, banging the window when they were coming back, and he thought they just basically ran out of time.
Well, because he's riding him at the moment, Tony, because exactly what he said, they're not in sync. Yeah. They're not. If they were playing the same way they were at the start of the season, when they get to 10-0, they go on with that. I don't think, regardless of how Penrith play, because Penrith at the moment don't give you opportunities. They complete really high. They're at 95%.
Yeah.
So the Roosters, if they were going to generate some points, they need to do it through their own good play, because Penrith and the sides that you're going to play Penrith in the next couple of weeks, you're not going to get opportunities. So you need to find ways to break their defence down. You need to do it through your own good play. So the Roosters, when they got to 10 points on the back of some good play, and Penrith gave a couple of cheap penalties away, a couple of guys that didn't have finals experience got exposed early. Nathan was just out of play, and then Edwards makes that tackle and gives a penalty away, and Kickow then flips someone. They made a couple of early errors that looked like a little nervous errors, and you know they were able to capitalise on the back of that. But from then on, Penrith gave them nothing, and Roosters just weren't in sync enough, in good enough rhythm or form to then create their own chances, and they were giving nothing by Penrith. And Penrith are always going to score points, and they're going to come at you and test you, but they're not going to give you much if you can't generate it. Okay. I think that was the difference last night.
On the way through to you, Brownie M, so what happened with Kickow? What's the story with that lifting tackle?
So it is a grade one dangerous throw charge. So if he takes the early guilty plea, he misses a week, so then misses that prelim final. But it's because he's got carryover points. So that's from a previous incident earlier this year. So they've got until 12 p.m. tomorrow to enter the plea. But it'll still be a week, so they may as well
fight it.
Just go and give it a crack and fight it.
Well, he certainly lifted, though. I'm not sure how he's going to go. We'll find out on Tuesday if it is indeed on Tuesday. What do you make of Trent Robinson's, what he's talking about there? After last week, everybody was looking for a different Roosters team.
Yeah, I sort of looked at last week's round of football, and I know that we haven't seen a team. The Roosters of this sort of generation obviously have a score put on them like that. But firstly, this year is very different to any other year with the COVID and players being in lockdown and all sorts of jazz. And the Roosters, they didn't have anything to play for last week.
Yep.
Regardless of what anyone says, they're going to run third or fourth, which is not a home semi. So I sort of didn't buy too much into the Roosters' performance last week. And people saying they had to defy history to win the premiership, but I haven't seen a side with, you know, 11 current or former internationals in one side get beat by 50 neither. So the Roosters are a very, very different club, different outfit with what they've been through. So I thought last night's game was the toughest game of the round to pick. I thought the other three games, there were clear favourites to win. I thought last night's game was going to be hardest game to pick. I actually leant towards the Roosters a fraction. The Roosters probably start games, Roosters and Melbourne start games better than any two sides consistently over the past sort of 6 or 8 year period of footy where they generally come out of the gates. And I thought Penrith, you know, with their lack of finals experience, if they do have to come from beyond, they might do it tough because they haven't had to come from beyond this year. And when the Roosters got to 10-0, like Gerds was saying, I thought the Roosters would have won from there. But the fact that Penrith could fight back and go to 28 and they you know, they did it in patches where they really raced the points up against a pretty good Roosters outfit. So I thought the Panthers showed that they are a genuine premiership side with that performance, and the Roosters showed by the way they fought back after what they went through last week to then come back and nearly win the game. They showed that if they make it, they can win it.
Yeah. If Trent Robinson was happy with the question about character after the game, he wasn't quite so happy with this question about whether the result showed that the Panthers were indeed the number one team and the team to beat.
Mate, look, that question is, they beat us by a point tonight. You know, that's up to them to answer. This is what the final series is about. Like, it's not about answering it after a first semi-final. It's about, this is what the finals are about. We'll find out in 3 weeks' time who's the best. It's not much use answering it tonight.
He's got a point, hasn't he?
Well, they're going to, if they go on from here now, the situation they find themselves in, the Roosters, is a dire one, because they've got the Raiders next week, but you would think the Raiders next week, yeah? Or then they fall into the Melbourne side of the draw, then if Melbourne win tonight, then they go through, then it'll be Melbourne, then they'll be grand final. So it'll be the Penrith game, the Raiders, potentially the Raiders, Melbourne, and then the grand final. For a team that's at the moment just a little bit out of sorts, I think that's a huge effort. They'll need to have, you know, a lot of character to get through that run.
Yeah,
but yeah, as Trent Robinson said, the character last night was incredible. And even someone like in a beaten side, Boyd Cordner, literally never, ever, ever gives up. So the Cleary field goal was right in front of me when I was sideline, and it was Boyd Cordner who was the one that raced up and missed the charge down. But he was the one who was leading. He was literally on all fours. He was banging the turf. He was so annoyed with himself that he didn't get there in time. And he came over. He seemed like he was almost in tears after the game when he was doing the interviews with all of the sideline reporters. And you had a few Penrith fans that called out and said, "We're Penrith fans, mate, but we loved you." And that was such a great performance. And I thought, how telling that Penrith fans, they weren't booing him and giving it to him, but they were saying, "Mate, great job." And I think that
was
really...
If they'd lost, they may not have said that.
Potentially not, but, you know.
Well, you're on the sideline. Were the lines marked clearly? What was the excuse for Brent Naden taking that ball in offside position, the kickoff after the field goal?
Maybe he doesn't know the rule.
That was phenomenal.
I don't know what was going on there. Bit of a brain snap.
About the way Penrith went about their business, I mean, defensively, Brownie, there was some edge defence that left a little bit to be desired. I think some of their guys, Natum, you know, 6 missed tackles, and Martin, 5 missed tackles, and Kickow, 4 missed tackles, and Luai, 5 or 6 missed. So there was some leaky edge defence, which is something they'll probably need to work on before the next game. But when they've got the football, they just look like the most complete team I've seen in a long time. And the Roosters were like that, I think, at the early start when we came out of COVID. They were that connected that they get themselves in positions, and they're ready to pull the trigger at any point. And that's what impressed me about them last night. And that impressed me about them because they were behind on the scoreboard, and it didn't alter the way they went about their business. So they've got that much confidence in the way that they play with the ball, that it's so natural for them. They move the ball around in the middle to the point where they just wait for that one moment, that one little quick play of the ball, whether it's a Coruscant dart out of dummy half, or it's a Isaiah Yeo getting isolating, turning someone on. As soon as they get a play of the ball that's just a little bit quicker than the one before, they go, and they all know where they need to be, and Cleary then just grabs the football and gets it to the guy that's in the most space or has the most opportunity to do something with it. Yeah. And they do that consistently. So therefore, the team that's defending, they never get a break because the ball is always being, they don't burn any plays. It's not like we're going to a certain side, then we're going to play the ball and we're going to put on this shape regardless of how quick play the ball is. That's not part of their game. And that's what I love about their attack. They're just ready to go at a moment's notice. As soon as that ball's played quickly, Luai on the left, Cleary on the right, and they're off and running, and sides just can't keep pace with them at the moment.
We're talking about this game for, I don't know, what, 20 minutes, and it's the first time we haven't actually mentioned Nathan Cleary in a hat-trick of tries. He was brilliant.
I think everyone, when you see 20, 29, 28, and Gerd's mentioned, you know, the edge defence sometimes you got to look at the offence, and we can't always say the defence was bad. Sometimes you got to say the offence from both sides was very good at times.
Yep.
And they got two sides that are, you know, got a young emerging side who looks like they've got a squad that can – you know, be a top side for a period of time. You've got a side that's won the last two premierships. So it's easy to say, oh, the defense mightn't have been so good, but sometimes you actually got to reward the offense is so good from both sides. Sometimes the defense had no answer for it sometimes. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But you had two sides that, you know, can really play on the advantage on, and Gerd's just, you know, highlighted Penrith, how they are on the, when they're on the ad line, they come at you. And similar to Luke Keary, there's no better advantage on playing the competition than Luke Keary. And when you generate quicker play the balls, which happens quite easily now with the new rules, those blokes are coming at you quickly with blokes running into spaces of who've got combinations of play with each other.
Yeah.
You know, Keary, Cordner, these types of combinations have been happening for years. And the young Penrith blokes, it's been well documented. Six or seven of those blokes have been playing with each other since they were 15 or 16. Mm. So these combinations haven't just happened overnight.
So, and Jerome and Nathan have played together since then. They came through Harold Matt's SG Ball. They won a 20s comp together. So you can tell, you know, they just get each other so well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. With the Roosters too, do you think they really miss Jake Friend? Because Freddie Lussick did a good job, but got to about the 50th minute mark and he was buggered. They were just, as you said, because of the Panthers, they were just so quick. He got through a mountain of work. And Mitch Orbison, I mean, he's missed a fix it, but he's not a natural hooker.
Yeah, they're always going to miss his leadership and just his presence being around the guys. I think they also rely on Keary a little bit too much with the football. And I think Kyle Flanagan, who's had some really good games with ball in hand this year, last night, whether it was not, you know, they were at him a lot down that side, because that's obviously the side Penrith like to play down, their right defensive sides. He had kick out coming at him all the time. Yo was out there, you know, Crichton was, they were Mansour. I mean, every time if you watch where, you know, Mansour would get the football off a kick, he would get himself out of Flanagan, you know. So making sure that this guy's fatigued, so when they get the ball, you know, they haven't got any legs underneath them. And so I just thought that, If you look after Keary on that left-hand side and his combinations down there, they don't offer a lot on the right. And, you know, Crichton scored a nice try down there, and Teddy usually sort of likes to bounce around on the right-hand side of the field as well. But they just needed, I thought, some extra strings to their bow with the football last night.
And on the dummy half stuff, which you just spoke about, anytime you put someone to dummy half that's not a specialist, you are losing out. Dummy half's a specialist position, and if they're going to miss Jake Friend, three-time premiership player, one of their captains, you've got to miss a player of that quality if he's not on the field.
Yeah. Mm.
And Freddie Lussick, you know, he toiled away and did a tidy job, but Mitch Orbison is a Mr. Fix-It, but it's not the same as having a regular dummy half there.
Jake Friend likely to be back next week, I think. Likely to be back next week. All right, we should just hear from Supercoach Ivan Cleary and what he thought. We talked about them being a young team. He was keen to talk about what this would mean for their confidence.
Yeah, well, when the draw came out, we were playing the Roosters. I thought that was a good thing because, you know, we couldn't have gone into a game any more confident. Always knew that, regardless of the outcome, we would get a lot out of this game. But to win it, obviously, it gives us a lot of confidence. And just to go through that whole 80 minutes, there's so many ebbs and flows, and yeah, really good learning experience for our boys.
Ivan Cleary there on the back of the Panthers, 29 points to 28 win over the Roosters. A great start to the final series. And not a great start if you're a fan of South Sydney and the story surrounding Sam Burgess. We'll get to that next. Jerome Luai will join us as well. Plenty ahead. It's a Saturday scrum, thanks to King G. Lovely to have your company. A double header underway in Canberra this afternoon in the opening round of the NRLW. The Roosters taking on the Dragons. What's the score? I think we've only got about 9 minutes to go, Gerds. And the Roosters are up 12 points to 4. I was so confident about the Dragons this year. They got to the grand final last year, beaten by the Broncos, who are going for a three-peat this season. But there's been good additions to the Dragons side. I thought they were going to... But anyway, 12-4. They're 12-4 and they still have time. 9 minutes to go in that game.
Story of your life, isn't it, Tony? Just hope for the Dragons and then it falls away.
Well, Brownie, I have had glory. The Dragons have had glory in my lifetime several times.
Absolutely, yes, but not for a while.
Not for a while, 2010, but, you know, who's counting? The story that many of you will be across over the past couple of days has been an ugly one. The allegations levelled in an investigation by the Australian newspaper against Sam Burgess, they paint a fairly ugly picture of some domestic violence allegations, as we say, some drug taking, all of those things that have been listed in that story, which of course have been denied by Sam Burgess outright. That investigation is continuing. Now, before we have a quick chat about it, perhaps we should hear what the NRL CEO, Andrew Abdo, had to say.
The NRL, the Commission, do not condone violence, abuse or intimidation of anyone, let alone women, and we will take the strongest possible action that we can. We also do not condone the abuse of drugs. But it's important to emphasise that this is new information to the NRL.
New information to the NRL, obviously. So the investigation is underway. The Rabbitohs have released a statement as well regarding that report. The allegations in today's the Australian newspaper reading now are very concerning, and the club is treating them with the utmost seriousness. There is no place in our society for violence, harassment or abuse against women. If anyone is found guilty of allegations of this nature, the club will take the strongest possible action. The club takes issues of drug use very seriously, has well-established policies and procedures in place around the use of performance-enhancing or illicit recreational prescription drugs. The club will continue to work closely with ASADA and the NRL, which administer testing of the players. The club will also continue to work with the playing group to support their well-being and educate them about drug use. The Rabbitohs welcome the NRL Integrity Unit's investigation in relation to these allegations and will fully cooperate with the investigation. The club is supportive of Sam Burgess' decision to step down from his role at the club while the NRL Integrity Unit investigation is underway. Sam has also stepped down from his role at Fox Sports as a commentator for the moment as well. So that's where we're at. It's a tough old one to actually get to the bottom of as an investigation. You never like to see those kinds of allegations flying around, though, and it's difficult. You know, we'll talk about it later. Does it affect the Rabbitohs in their performance? Does that matter when, in fact, there's a whole deeper issue going on? What have you made of it?
Oh, look, I would have thought if Sam was playing with the Rabbits, it would certainly have a huge impact on him. But the fact is he's not playing and he's just a part of the staff, I would have thought, you know, the players there got, you know, got quite an experienced sort of group of players there. They've got the most experienced coach in the history of the game. So I don't think it'll be a problem as far as South Sydney's preparations are going for me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's definitely a good idea that he's stepped down from both the Rabbitohs roles and Fox Sports roles. I hope that he's got support around him at the moment because, of course, we know these are just allegations at the moment, so hopefully he's got adequate support. And I think if some of these allegations are proven to be correct eventually, it wouldn't be just Sam, it would be anyone involved that should be accountable as well, anyone that was involved in helping to cover things up.
Well, indeed, there's been arguments that not just Sam Burgess, but those within South Sydney, if the allegations that they were almost enabling him by turning a blind eye to some of those alleged actions and various people within the club. Now, again, we've read that what their statement is. They deny any of that. So we can only wait to see what happens with the investigation. And it will be a police investigation alongside the NRL investigation. It is tough times, though, there. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Finals underway, the first qualifying final. The Panthers 29 beat the Roosters 28 in a sensational game of rugby league.
He's comfortable, isn't he, Brownie?
He is. Well, he's just he's out
waltz
and about.
Is in, waltz is out.
It's like he owns the joint.
Well,
yeah. How are you, fella?
How are you, mate?
You good?
Networking with the boss is one of the keys to survival.
Isn't it?
It's one of the keys to survival.
Getting the support of the board.
100%, yes.
You're talking about Charlie.
Charlie, that's right. Correct.
The boss's son. All right, 29-28, and
no small. We got the job.
Small thanks to, as we mentioned earlier, a bloke who's been playing great footy all season. I'm talking about Jerome Luai joins us now. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Must have been a great feeling last night in the dressing room. You were down by 10, up by 18, won by 1 point, never in doubt.
Yeah, they came up pretty strong and, not going to lie, caught us off guard a bit. But we spoke about, you know, getting back into a cycle. Our team's really good at that and we'll fight our way back into the game, which we did. So that was really pleasing to do.
Hey, Jerome, it's amongst a lot of the young guys coming through. It's your first finals campaign. That was your first finals game last night. How did you find it? Was it a step up from the normal league games?
Yeah, it was probably one of the toughest games I've ever played in. I was told that to Nathan, the boys. Could feel, you know, the intensity straight away. It was a bit different from the round matches and, you know, with a bit more crowd there than normal. It was pretty crazy and a really good atmosphere to be a part of.
Hey, Jerome, as I was sitting sideline, I was watching, you know, your footwork and your passing game. At times I looked and I thought, gee, you remind me of Benji Marshall. Now, would I be correct in saying, was he one of your heroes growing up?
Yeah, he definitely was. And I think the first game that I ever watched as a young boy was that 05 grand final, and ever since I've always been, you know, in love with Benji. So yeah, it was pretty cool to play him earlier on this year. I think I found myself cuddling him rather than tackling him.
He loves a cuddle, Benji.
Jerome, when you first come on the scene over the, you know, your first sort of probably whole season and even last year, you certainly were far more a running player than a passing player, but it looks like your passing game's really developed a lot. Have you done a lot of work on that, mate?
Yeah, Baz has pretty much taken me under his wing this year and, you know, given me the blueprint, what to work on, what I need to get better at, and that's definitely something I needed to get better at. I've got a lot of strike weapons outside of me, so I need to get them the ball the way they want to get it, so that's been a goal for me this year.
And it's just come through that big kicks might have to have a week off. What would that mean to the group?
Yeah, pretty big loss for us. But, you know, we do have guys there and, you know, Kirk Capor to fill in that role, which he has before and done a really good job. But, yeah, kicks has missed a few games this year and we've done a really good job in replacing him and doing a job for big kicks. So hopefully we can do another one in the next game.
Em talked about the footwork. What I found very impressive last night and most games this year is your vertical leap at the celebration is very good in terms of getting on top of the pile of players.
Yeah, I play a bit of basketball, so I think it comes from there. And I've got to watch out. I think I'm coming down on my ankles a bit too hard, so the boys are telling me to stop jumping so high.
And what about after every try? There's a different celebration. There's all different sorts of secret handshakes going on. Tell us about that. Do you practice those? Is there are there a few different ones you rotate through?
Yeah, I think everyone's got their own different handshake for each other. So that's pretty cool. We practice that a lot around training and that. So, you know, coronavirus, so we can't do much. So that takes a bit of time up for us boys.
Jerome, it seems like you guys all love your footy. Are you going to sit back over the weekend now that your job's done and watch some of the other games?
Yeah, definitely. You know, finals footy and it just brings that new intensity and we'll be watching closely, you know, to see what happens and, you know, what the other team's game plans are to whoever we will play in the next round. But, you know, we'll enjoy this week off, freshen up a bit and we'll be ready for our next match.
Will you be watching a bit of the Lakers and Miami?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got a bit of a bet there with Saucy. He goes for Miami Heat, so he said he'll buy me a pair of shoes if Lakers win. So we're up a bit now, I think, so I can't wait.
We've talked a lot over this year about how difficult it must be for all of you guys with the whole biosecurity bubble and all those restrictions that have been placed on your lives. We've also talked about the appearance from the outside of how close as a unit you guys are. Has that made it easier to be living in each other's pockets?
Yeah, definitely. We love coming to work every day just to see each other's faces. I think some of us think we're getting sick of each other, but, you know, deep down, you know, we love each other's company. And, yeah, we're riding a really good wave and we've got a lot of momentum behind us. So hopefully we can take all of that into our next match.
Tell us a little bit about the preseason battle you had with Matty Burton. Obviously two really good 5'8s and going for one spot. Did that push you onto, you know, the form that you're in at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Made me work harder. A lot of extras as well. I've put into my game this year, and that's big thanks to Cameron Serrato. We had a pretty tough conversation between us two, and you know, just asked me whether I'm doing enough to be the best I can be earlier on this year. And I sort of thought to myself, you know, am I doing enough, and can I do more to be better? So, you know, I've got to give a lot of thanks to both Berto and Sarah for that.
And there'd be lots of reasons to go all the way, but especially your skipper, James Tarmo, will be leaving the club at the end of the year. No doubt it would be extra special to do it for him. Talk to us about the influence that he's had on you and the young boys as well.
Yeah, big skipper. He's a really good leader for us. You know, he leads by example and he leads with his actions as well. So, you know, he's been there and done that. He's won a premiership and he knows what it takes. So, you know, he can lead us in that sense, but yeah, he just leads with his actions, his words, and you know, we're gonna miss big Jimmy T. And Nate said, you know, a few rounds ago, we probably won't ever play with this group again. So hopefully, we can do something special together.
Now you're a local boy. You must be really enjoying the community side of things and how up and about the whole town would be at the moment. You guys getting out amongst that as much as you can, obviously with the restrictions.
Sorry, what was that?
You're a local boy, so the local community at the moment getting behind you boys through this finals campaign the whole season, really, are you amongst that? Are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I love, you know, Western Sydney. A lot of us grew up here. It sucks that we can't, you know, get out and about and connect more with the fans and the area, but I know they're behind us and they're with us all the way. So as much as we're doing it for each other, we're doing it for the area as well.
Yeah, well, they were certainly lapping it up last night, and I imagine we'll continue over the coming weeks. Congratulations on a terrific performance last night and indeed for the entire season. Good luck as the finals campaign continues.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
Will do. There he is, Jerome Luai. How good is that?
Yeah.
He speaks above, I mean, how old is he, 22, 23?
Young, very well spoken.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. And
very impressive. I mean, Nathan Cleary, as we said, he scored 3 tries, a great hat-trick. But in terms of try assists, Jerome Luai with...
I think 21 so far this year. It's incredible.
Amazing. Terrific performance from him, as I mentioned. The Panthers, 29. The Roosters, 28. This is Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Won't be surprised, I did my maths wrongly earlier. There's actually now 12 minutes to go in the elite game. And the Roosters leading the Dragons in the first, the comeback game in the WNRL. The Roosters still head 12 points to 4, 12 minutes to go. Still time for the Dragons, if good. As remembered, Charlotte Kaslick, of course, is the Rugby Sevens champion gold medalist, Olympic gold medalist, is playing for the Roosters this season. All right, next, so I'm going to test the brain capacity of my 3 co-commentators here with our quiz. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. It is time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
three in five.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 and 5.
It's not 3 and 5. It's not 3.
It hasn't been 3 and 5 for about 2 months, yeah, I think.
But I really like it. You know, I get my name mentioned in that little opener. So if it's not broke, why would you fix it? I think it's really clearly what's going on there. Okay, so you're going to have to use your names as your buzzers. Because what I've decided to do, given he won't be here this afternoon, given the game is at 5:40, Peter Sterling is calling tomorrow's game. So he's not going to join us. And I thought, well, we've got to fill that hole with the Sterlo quiz. That is what today is about. Could you test your buzzers for me, please?
Good.
Emma.
Brownie.
Excellent. Oh, very simple. All right, question number one. Where was Sterlo born?
Good.
Yes, good.
Toowoomba.
He was a Queenslander through and through.
There you go.
At what club did he play his...
Emma.
Brownie.
Parramatta.
No. His first junior footy.
Good.
Yes, good.
Wagga.
The Wagga. Kangaroo Panthers.
Boom.
What's a Kangaroo Panther? Why are you either kangaroos or Panthers? But the Wagga Kangaroo Panthers.
They amalgamated.
Did they?
St. George's
Warrior Dragons. The Warrior Dragons. Right. Is that right? Okay.
Or maybe it's like a hybrid. Never mind.
What, like a liger?
Like a
liger, like a half lion, half tiger.
You know the dogs that they breed
that
together?
Wouldn't that have been a Cantha Poo or a Pangaroo. Let's move on. What job did Sterlo's dad have? Come on, for those of you who've been in this room with Sterlo, he's talked about it many times.
His dad.
He was a dental technician. How long has Sterlo been working in the media?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
Forever.
I would accept forever. I accept 100 years, but it's actually
24.
33 years. He started at 2WS and Channel 10 1987 finals as a sideline eye. And it's been brilliant ever since. The 1982 Kangaroos with which Sterlo toured were known as...
Girds.
Invincibles.
The Invincibles, they were. You just threw that in because you were... Do you want to test your buzzer?
I just wanted to see if I was working.
Test your buzzer before
Brownie.
Yeah, it's working. All right. Sterlo made his State of Origin debut in 1981. He made his representative debut just a couple of weeks earlier for what team? Yes, Girds.
Country.
No, City Seconds. Speaking of debuts...
I guess if you're from Queensland, you can play with anyone.
Speaking of debuts, what word does Sterlo hate?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
Debutante.
Yes. Well, it does. He says, and if you're a debutante, you're wearing a ball gown.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What domestic chore does Sterlo enjoy performing?
What What was that?
What domestic chore does Sterlo enjoy performing?
Emma.
Yes, yes Emma.
Or he irons.
Yes,
and he irons his dry cleaning after it's been dry cleaned.
And his underpants. Hi, Sterlo. I hope you listen.
Quite clear. I don't know enough about Sterlo.
You don't? Well, have you been to the sports bar at the Parramatta League Club, Sterlo's Sports Bar? Can you give me just three ingredients in the Sterlo burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Meat.
Yeah. Cheese.
Cheese and a bun.
On every burger.
It was an Angus meat patty, a red cheddar, lettuce, tomato, ranch, and smoky barbecue sauce.
No beetroot. It's not a
no
burger.
No beetroot. No, it's not a burger. It's a Sterlo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Sterlo. How many premierships did Sterlo? Yes, Brownie.
Four
is correct. What English club did he play?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie. Oh, look at him coming around the outside.
I think I got him then.
Did Hull. You?
Hull FC yeah. is correct. And finally, where did Sterlo have trouble running through a banner for State of Origin?
Emma.
Oh. LA. Oh,
LA is correct. I think really maybe you were the winner on the night. Well done, Ryan Girdler. Plenty ahead. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.